was pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed.
Surely not to be disbanded. We are the Mighty Mounties. With Josh Odyssey.
And Michelle Christine.
Hey, yeah, here we are. And we're here at episode 12. Very special podcast.
This one was your idea, I think.
Well, I just wanted to ask how you're doing, though, before we jump in.
Yeah, we can do that. How's my life? You know, my life is pretty good. There's some ups and downs. Like yesterday, I made a few mistakes that cost me a little bit of money, so that made me a bit sad.
Oh.
But learning experience.
That's good. It's important that you learn from these things.
Indeed.
So, go on.
I was going to say, so I'm better. I think I'm better prepared for next time. But I also booked my ticket to go to Edinburgh.
Ooh, yep. Exciting.
Yep. So I'm going to leave in a couple days and, hopefully get some things done so I can come back to England. But hopefully it's not too cold in Scotland. I'm not looking forward to that.
Oh, no. The weather out there is not where people go. They go for all the other entertainment.
Yeah, they do. At least, you know, if people are coming to Edinburgh, they're coming for a reason, so.
They need entertainment.
They do. Especially during Christmas. They have the Hogmanay.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah. Now, is that around Christmas or is that on New Year's Eve?
It's New Year's Eve.
Okay, New Year's Eve. Well, I guess that's around Christmas time. I don't feel like the holidays are over until after New Year's, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
So, I want to talk today about perspective.
Mm.
And we had such a good introspective podcast last episode. I thought we would like to talk about perspective because I know that a lot of youngsters, and whenever someone's in their early 20s, there can be a lot of pressure on them. And, you know, life is long, as we've kind of shared before, but, like, people just expect everything now. And if you have gone on the kind of traditional route of going into education, getting into a university, everyone that does that route, if they don't have wealthy families that have paid for it, they're going to be in debt. So that's accepting that fact that everyone does that. That's the majority. You shouldn't judge yourself for it. And I think with perspective, you know, you can only have perspective over time. And when you're younger, you don't really have that. So how can you get that? Well, that's a perspective in itself, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe it'd be cool if, like, in school, say you had a natural ability or you expressed a desire to learn more about a specific thing, they would, like, pair you with, like, volunteer mentors in that field. And that would be so fascinating. Like, imagine you were really interested in, I don't know, like, sports broadcasting, and then, you know, you got to meet somebody in the industry or, you know, marketing or whatever, teaching, even just a physician, and then you can just pick their brain and they could probably give you some advice that you would really, really take because they had been in it, like, in the industry that you want to go into. But, like, older people are so wise, and every time I talk to, like, an older person, I'm always, like, just shocked at how much they know and the advice that they can give me. So I think kids should be more encouraged to talk to people that are a little bit older and more knowledgeable.
Something that's given me more perspective just on this pod is we're not recording in the room that hurts my eyes because of the cat's fur. So,
yeah, I mean, I was definitely pushing for another room, but I didn't know, like, where you would be the most comfortable. So I'm glad that we have chosen a room now that I honestly feel very comfortable here.
Yeah, it's quite comfy here and the audio is good. So hopefully everything's great for the listeners as well.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it's tough getting feedback or people's takes from how they've lived their life. So I remember going to open days and thinking about what subjects I wanted to study at university, and I didn't get right twice. So, you know, because the problem is they're going to show their best people because they want you to go on their subject and in their university. And so their best people are going to be like, oh, it's great, you know, all this stuff. They're going to say, go to the bar and da-da-da, and, you know, there's only this number of lectures, and if you're smart, you do it wisely, you got your weekends. And they're going to sell it to you in a certain way. But really, the best advice comes when you get to share a bit about yourself. And if you can say, look, I'm a bit more introvert, or, you know, I like to kind of not travel so much, or what, this isn't me, it's just the guy I'm imagining, and I like to be in my room a lot, you know, is this path, if you were me, this is the best question, if you were me, what would you do? And then they can give you a more accurate kind of take on whether their usual spiel is something that's going to fit you. If they're like, yeah, this subject's great for that, cool, okay? But if it's not, if they're like, oh, no, you really need to do this, this, and this, you really need to get out, so either you need to change that or this might not be the right thing for you. They can only give you that advice if you ask that question, because otherwise they're going to give their normal perspective on things.
And it was really funny. When I used to work at Solar City in Los Angeles, right? I got this email, and I was like the lowest common denominator at that job. I was the person that people would walk by with, like, you know, lumber and screwdrivers, and I would ask them if they're interested in solar energy, and it was pretty thankless in a lot of ways. But I got this email from head office, and it's like, hey, is any women in this company interested in being someone's mentor, because we're trying to encourage more women to, you know, climb the ranks.
And, that's good.
Yeah. So I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. So, but then they told what they thought a mentor was, and then what they thought like a mentee was. And I was like, oh, like everything that's kind of like, I feel like I have more knowledge in the mentor thing than the mentee, because it was like, you know, a bit more high level, and some of the stuff that I've done with like planning and booking and promoting and stuff. Like, I just didn't think that I was the mentee. So I applied to be the mentor, and then I got matched with this woman that was like an executive, like someone so high up that like obviously she wanted to like be mentored by maybe like a VP or something like that. And I contacted her and was like, hey, I'd love to. She never contacted me back. She was probably so pissed that the generator system, like Michelle Christine, salesperson Home Depot, she's probably like, oh my God, what's happened here? And yeah, so she never, but I mean, the desire was there for me to share my knowledge. It just didn't work out.
What company was she in? Was she in the same company?
Yeah, Solar City as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's kind of a mess up, because I would say you can always learn something from someone, but I guess if in the same company, yeah, it might be a bit. The weird thing about companies is the political ladder and the status thing. But like, really, the best people are looking to learn from everyone. You know, one of my favorite movies, it didn't come on the list. Sorry, didn't make it. But it's definitely up there. It's Big with Tom Hanks.
Mm.
And, you know, this kid, 30-year-old kid, becomes a 30-year-old man, and then he goes out into the real world because his mum doesn't recognise who he is, so she beats him, chases him out of the house. You know, we've all felt that way growing up. Anyway, so he's getting a job, and obviously he likes toys because he's a 13-year-old. And then this guy, who's the CEO of the toy company, he's really smart. He's going around looking to see what his customers like and the toys, and he sees this giant adult jumping and playing laser tag, and he's like, hey, don't you work for me? And they have that brilliant scene where they play the piano, and the reason that guy is an excellent CEO is because he's like, this guy has something which a lot of my execs are missing, and even though he's brand new, I'm going to get him in here on the creative side. And he came up with some fantastic ideas, some ideas which were actually we kind of have now today in the iPad. He actually came up with like a comic book you can play, you know. But anyway, I would say unlucky for that woman, but maybe you did have a few things you could have taught her.
Yeah, I would have definitely had a coffee. I got ghosted, but the desire was there. And I mean, I would have loved to, the roles were, I just didn't know how high up the chain people would be wanting this stuff, or I would have totally just been a mentee. But I've actually been to that before. So I was called, I think FAO Schwartz was like the toy store that was in that movie Big.
Oh.
Yeah, it was in New York, and I went to it, and I, you know, danced on the piano a little bit, and then now it doesn't exist anymore because people don't buy toys in toy stores very much anymore. So,
yeah,
because we talked about Toys R Us being kind of on the brink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're still doing turnover, but, you know, anyway, that's a different thing.
Yeah,
but
a whole different thing.
But, yeah, I think, but no one came to you and did a dance with you, and they were like, oh, we're the CEO of the toy company.
Yeah, I was really hoping for it, but not that day. But there was a lot of kids that were stealing candy. They had this giant candy.
Losing money there.
It wasn't the kids' fault, though. Like, imagine just every candy you can imagine, like at kid level. Like
chocolate
underneath.
Candy.
Well, yeah,
chocolate. You know I have candy. A chocolate thing.
I know, chocolate candy, gummies.
The chocolate fast is going well, by the way, whoever's keeping up to date with that. I'm being very good.
Yeah, I only had one cheeky chocolate finger today. Yeah, before you woke up. Before you woke up, so that you wouldn't even smell it on me or taste it on me.
I said, had you had breakfast? And you're like, oh, weren't telling about the chocolate finger. No, I haven't.
Well, that's the thing. It tided me over so that we could have breakfast together. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, anyway, so.
But yeah, they imagine just, you were a kid and it's at eye level and you can just lift a little lid and then eat a candy. And I remember just being like, this is just a madhouse.
Doesn't make any sense.
It was just, the kids were flying, they were supposed to pay for it. But, you know, of course, there's going to be half the kids are just going to go up and eat the candy because they're, you know, they're cheeky.
Cheeky monkeys.
And it made me want to take one too, but I didn't. I thought better of myself. But I was like, damn, that little gummy worm looks so freaking good. But I didn't. And that's right outside. That's where they had the Apple store. You know, that one that like there's like a cube box that like kind of comes up and then you go into a thing. I think you go into the basement for the store.
I think that would be the best toy store. Because you get one free candy or three free candies for coming in. This is great.
And they had the giant, like, stuffed animals, like, giraffes and stuff like that. But that's the thing about places, right? Right on Fifth Avenue, I think it was on Fifth Avenue, like, you have, like, this is the most expensive rent probably in New York. Ooh. And you have these giant, like, giraffes and, like, gorillas and stuff like that. Like, how are you going to be able to sustain yourself when, like, Amazon just has giant warehouses in the middle of nowhere and then it just gets shipped to people? It's just not going to happen.
Yep, they definitely saw a new perspective on the retail process, and that's why The Richest Man in the World has basically been produced from an e-commerce store, which is pretty amazing.
But how do you think, like, your perspective has changed from, like, being a kid to an adolescent to an adult?
Well, I'm definitely a bit more careful about my choices. Mm. I know the consequences of some choices, so I'm more careful about them. More considered about that. I don't rush in to ones which I know can lead to misfortune, you know. I think that's much better. But then similarly on the other side, I might be a bit more hesitant, whereas a kid, you know, I don't know, kids are stupid. I was in some ways stupid as a kid. So one time, like, I got to go to one of the coolest guy's friends at school, and he was like, oh yeah, you can come around to my house. And then we agreed, and parents agreed, and they all, you know, shook hands on it. That's what parents have to do when you're young. Have to be like, yeah, we agree. You seem reputable. You have clothes on. I have clothes on. Okay, good. So we went to the playground, and we were spinning this roundabout. And we're going faster and faster and faster, and it was great. And then I thought, well, I'll jump on. You can't do that. What are you, an idiot? Centrifugal force? Apparently it's something else now, central triple distance or something now. Ridiculous. I know. If you're a physicist, let us know on Twitter, @LaughingMounty.
It's not called centrifugal force anymore? Or you just fucked it up and then you're...
No. They're basically... A physicist that was the teacher was teaching us, and he said, look, they've made the decision not to talk about centrifugal force as it existing. What? They've decided that it doesn't exist. Mm. Oh, but you can talk about central triple distance. What's that then? Well, it's kind of like centrifugal force, but we don't have time to go into it. So that's the last thing I heard about it. It might have come back again. But if you are a physicist or that way inclined, we're at Laughing Mounty on Instagram or Twitter. That's LaughingMountie.
Beautiful.
We could get a little jingle for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we definitely will.
It's IE in the end, not
yeah,
Y.
Yeah.
Some people think it's Y.
Exactly.
I thought first time it could be Y.
That's okay. Wait, so do you try to jump on this thing or jump off of it?
I try to jump on.
Oh, man.
And then the force that doesn't exist threw me back off.
Oh.
So, I don't know what threw me off. It was probably a ghost. This must be what it is, because that's what people think when they can't explain things. Must be a ghost.
Mm.
No, it's just a headlamp in the wind. Anyway, Halloween's coming up.
Oh, it is.
People...
Before you talk about that, I want to know, like, what did your friend think? Like, you went on this friend date. Like, I was very, like, intrigued.
Not a date. What are you talking about?
So, not, like, date, obviously, but, like, friendship so outing.
It's a bro hangout.
Yeah, bro hangout and outing.
He was cool, and he gave me, like, a candy. It was like, and I never had it before, it was so expensive.
Ooh.
It was like you push it up in the middle, and this like glass candy comes out the middle, and you suck on it, and it's like a wand it takes ages to get through, which is great as a kid. As a kid, all I was ever looking to do was to get sweets somehow. But like I wasn't being entrepreneurial about it. I wasn't going out of my way for it. But if sweets were coming, that's the highlight of being a kid. You know, cartoons, sweets, maybe some biscuits. You know, rock it on with some Coke or milk, you know, back in the day. And I tried a few things. One time I grated an apple into some milk. Thought I'd make myself a little apple milk. Oh, yeah.
How did it taste?
Disgusting. Okay. I've never had that again. But you live and you learn, don't you?
Yeah, you do. So, yeah, I think you're right. As a kid, our perspective is a lot more wide open. We're more likely to try new things. We're more likely to, I don't know, take risks in a way. And I think we're also more likely to not be as affected by failing at stuff. I think because, you know, when you're a kid, you
just... Yeah, you know, like, you're allowed to... Everyone expects, oh, he's not going to get it first time. So mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. It's like, yeah. And then people always cheer you on like, all right, Harry, try it with the other hand. You know, try it, you know, swing the ball that way. It's like, oh, okay. Whereas when you're an adult, no one's doing that. No one's saying, you know what, you tried hard in that business. I've got to give you credit for that. But have you thought about marketing it? You know, doing that online a bit. Okay. It's up to you. I think people assume a lot of things. Like, also, you have less time as an adult.
You do.
So you can't really be sticking your nose in. People don't stick their nose in with advice. They just judge. Oh, Woolworths has gone under. Oh, terrible business. They were doing well for 40 years, however long it was.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we might have had Woolworths in Canada. But it changed to Walmart very quickly, which obviously I don't think is the same company, but yeah, it got decimated.
Walmart.
Yeah, Walmart took, yeah, it's kind of like the Amazon of, almost like a little bit of the past now, but I actually stopped going to any department stores when I lived in Los Angeles because Amazon Prime was so good. 2-day shipping, like I just never come. Man, I wish we were getting like something from Amazon. But yeah, no, 2-day shipping. So I just would anything, even shoes, I would just order it to the house. Like, and oh, it didn't fit, send it back. But like, I never went into like Target.
I feel a bit guilty. I send it back.
No, they just send you the right size. Oh, like, okay. If you're getting shoes, you can't try them on, right? So they're very liberal about you sending them back because most likely they just don't fit. But yeah,
do you know what happens when Amazon get a return?
An angel loses its wings?
Yeah. No. It doesn't go back to the same place. It goes back to a storage depot.
Mm.
And then all the sent back items get lotted and auctioned off. And you can buy an auction and you get loads of random stuff in it.
Mm.
And so, you know, people bid on this and it could be like $1,000, but there's loads of stuff in there and they tell you what the value is of it and it's more than $1,000. You're like, oh, that's right. And then it comes and you have this big, what's it called, a plaque comes in. So you have to have a good warehouse or garage to store this stuff in. And then you open it up and then you see all the stuff. You've got saucepans and you've got like loads of random stuff like, you know, beauty care, more, like hair care stuff.
Yeah, the shoes that didn't fit.
Shoes that didn't fit Michelle. Brilliant. Thank you for those shoes.
Mm.
Just loads of random things. And then, obviously, this is for people that want to resell in a lot of circumstances or set up a store themselves, which is fair enough. But Amazon doesn't even deal with it. It's like, oh, dude, we're not going to fucking take it back. We'll have to put it out in the world. Put it out.
Yeah, but it's true. Like, as we get older, we do tend to... Yeah, to not... Yeah, and it's so much better if you can meet somebody that instead of, giving judgment or passing judgment, that they actually can sit down and talk with you and give you insight and ideas onto, like, how to do it better. Those are the gems in the world.
Yeah, I think I was sharing with you about my perspective about how, you know, people say, oh, your mistakes are your gifts because they're opportunities to learn. But we don't really embrace that. The education system... Obviously, check out our podcast episode on education, if you haven't heard it yet. That's earlier. I should really remember the number of that one because I was referencing it. But anyway, one thing I did mention was when you get a mistake in school, you get a cross. And when you get a mistake, you're going to feel bad in front of the class. Like, oh, he's an idiot, you know. But really, we should be celebrating mistakes. We shouldn't get across. You get a highlighted question that you got, because it's an opportunity for you to grow. You get ticks for the rest and get highlighted area. Oh, look at this area. You can grow in this area. And we should applaud people that are coming forward with mistakes, because they're giving everyone an opportunity to learn. And the problem with doing it the other way is that our egos will then get defensive and won't want to be seen as getting it wrong. So therefore, we're kind of blocking off our own opportunity to grow. And it's kind of a messed up structure. And maybe that's just what happens when you have one too many, because you have that social reinforcement. You know, we always want to be seen in a social light, a certain social way. But yeah, I think there's much to be said about those teachers that say, I remember some great teachers that were like, okay, Barry is getting this thing wrong. Everyone stop. And, you know, Barry, let's just go through this, because this is a great opportunity for everyone to learn, and everyone would listen. And just by framing it in that way, with that kind of perspective, we were like, oh yeah, I was kind of struggling with that, you know. Good on Barry. Good on Barry for kind of sharing it with the teacher. So the teacher kind of told us right, you know. But unfortunately, it's kind of the other way. And it makes learning harder, because we'll always kind of have that resistance that's been conditioning us to kind of be like, oh, no, I know this. Or not really showing our weaknesses to our coaches, to our trainers. And actually, we need to do that, because they need to know. They can't always know exactly what's going on. They need to hear it from us. And like, oh, okay, you're struggling in that area.
I like that when you said that, because we talked a little bit about weaknesses or things that, you know, we can work on. And I realized that in a lot of ways, I definitely don't want to ever be perceived as weak, because I feel like I like the way that, like in comedy or in the tours or in the stand-up or whatever, like I have to have confidence. I have to have confidence in a room full of open micers. I have to have confidence on stage when I have an audience. I have to have confidence when I'm riding on my bike. And so like there's so many industries that I'm doing or things that I'm doing where you have to have confidence. And even just to the fans of mine that watch my stories, like I want to be effervescent and happy and confident. And so I feel like if I'm ever feeling weak, like, or if people perceive me as weak, it's not what I want to portray. So I try to, you know, keep it down, and I feel like threatened if people are noticing that. And so, yeah, I think kind of using that and realizing, oh no, like your weaknesses don't necessarily, or people perceiving you as weak can actually be used as an advantage in certain ways. In business it can be, or in whatever. And it was just kind of nice to frame it in a way where you realize that you can flip the script on that, and you can recognize what you're kind of doing or triggers that you have. And then, yeah, because you're aware of them, then you can use them to your advantage. And then I can, you know, it's great sometimes being the underdog on a comedy show, because then if you knock it out of the park, they're just like, holy shit, I didn't expect that woman to be funny, and she fucking smashed it. Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the worst thing if people perceive you in a certain light.
Yeah, definitely behind the scenes, you got to be vulnerable, and you got to be open with that person that's supporting you, teacher, coach, trainer. That's why it's such important that we get the right people in those roles. And you have to be honest. Like, being honest with ourselves is kind of tough, because we've had that upbringing. So we kind of deceive ourselves, you know. But one thing that I like to ask myself is, how much do I really enjoy doing this thing? Because if I really enjoy it, then I'm going to keep coming back, and I'm kind of going to be more honest about how it is, you know? But if I don't really enjoy it, then I'll just be like, oh, I'll come up with some excuse, you know, not to do it, rather than actually being truthful about, like, actually, maybe we should find someone else to be doing this.
Right.
Who probably would enjoy it, you know? Honesty is a real key component to that. And I think that's not really a perspective that's shared in our society, like self-honesty.
Yeah, and I think it's very difficult sometimes to like sit down and think about where you lack, or like things you need help on. Because like ego, like you're talking about before, like it's hard to recognize where we fall short, because you can feel shamed, or you can feel embarrassed, and then that's where the defensiveness comes in. You know, people are questioning you on the things that you already know deep down are like, you know, insecurities of yours. And yeah, I think bottling them up is, you know, it's just going to lead to more defensiveness. You kind of have to get them out in your open, in your mind, and that's the only way that you can overcome them.
Yeah, I think not enough people are being honest with themselves, and it's a growing trait amongst people. And once you kind of live in the ego perception, then you're not going to, it's going to be harder and harder to become honest with yourself, and you have to break through. And that's not something that a lot of people even aware of, let alone can do. So the people who are really honest, like you shared about The Rock on our last episode, check that out if you haven't seen it, episode 11. But in that, you kind of detailed his story, and he was honest that he couldn't play football at the highest level, and that he was honest that, you know, he was big, so he should play to that strength, you know, and that's why he got back in, or he did wrestling, like his dad used to, right? So sometimes honesty is the best perception you can have, because Or an attempt, at least, to be honest, and then other people tell you straight. Because a lot of times when I ask people, oh, what's my strength? They were like, oh, I don't know. You know, not really into it. But if I'm like, oh, I think I suck at this, they'll either be like, yeah, you do. You know, thanks, friends. or they'll be like, no, I think you're really good at that, actually. Like, I actually think you're right. Like, you know, I don't think I'm the best basketballer. But I talked to my friends that I play basketball with, and I said, oh, you know, I don't think I'm great. And they're like, no, you're actually really good. Like, and that made me have more confidence to do it more and to play it more. So sometimes...
And then I played with you when I was, you know, questioning those people. No, I'm just kidding.
Who gave you some guidance about how to shoot? How quickly the bird turns?
I'm just kidding.
The worm turns. That's it. Sorry. Mixed message again.
I just wanted to review. We've only gone out twice. You know, we've gone out twice, but...
On the basketball court.
At the basketball court. He did win in the free throw challenge, so I'll be honest about that.
Yeah. It was easy.
Thanks.
No, it was very close. You were winning at the beginning.
Yeah, I think I was up
like... That was scary for my man pride.
Yeah, like 2-1, I think I was up.
My man ego. My ego.
Yeah, maybe that's why you almost took that kid out with shooting back the ball. But that's another story for another time.
I was pretending. I was playing up a bit, but I kind of wanted him to realize, like, oh, maybe we should get out of the way. And then he didn't. And I was like, okay, it doesn't matter because this is going straight in the goal. I thought that was going to go straight the right hand corner.
I could tell you did.
And it went straight in between his legs and jiggled about like.
Honestly, you couldn't have done it again if you tried. That's the beauty of it. It just was like, it just had to be in that moment. We did talk about that a little bit last time. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. My perspective has changed immensely since I was a teenager. Like when I was, and I wish I could go back and tell my former self, like I wish I could.
Teenage Michelle.
Yeah, I wish I could just tell her, like, it's all going to be okay. You're not going to care about, like, any of these people, like, after high school that are giving you any sort of trouble now. Like, but at the time, if you have, you know, any sort of bullies or anyone who's mean to you in like elementary school or high school, like you think of them like so much more because like it's all you know, right? You're just in this vacuum of being in the same school for 8 years or being in the school for 4 years or, and, but then now that I'm older and I realize I can choose my friends, I can choose how I spend my time, I can choose where I go, and like I can get out of those negative situations. And like when you're trapped in them, you don't think like that. You just think you put so much more importance on the present. And as I've gotten older, I put so much more importance on like the future.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That was definitely different. I think that is something that's happening a lot. And it happens very often when you're younger, even as a teenager or young 20-year-old, you think how it is how it's always going to be.
Exactly.
And that's a perception. And you think, oh, you're only going to get perspective over time. How do you leapfrog that? Well, you have to use imagination. You have to go into the imaginarium and then jump forward in your timeline and think, if I'm 30 or I'm 40 or 50 and I look back on this, how would it be? It's not always easy, but using that kind of perspective, and there's NLP that helps you do that, it really does change things.
Yeah. And I think if you aren't imagining, like, future relationships with the people that you're with, like, if you, I think it's a really bad sign if you don't think of the future with the person that you're with. Like, if you're excited about the future and you're looking forward to it and you have, like, alignments, I think that's great. But yeah, when you, like, I think, again, one of the symptoms in my previous relationship of why I didn't think that it was the right stage was that the future was not only something we didn't really discuss, but if we discussed it, we didn't agree at all. So that was definitely not good. So your perspective does change, because if you meet somebody when your life is very, I don't want to say formulaic, but kind of like very routine, like going to university, all you do is take classes, you get good grades, you're crushing it. Like if you go to university and you get good grades, to your parents, to most people around you, you're crushing it. Like that's your only responsibility. Get good grades, perfect. So if you're doing that, I mean, you don't really have a lot to stress about, you know, like life is easy and it was fun. Oh my God, it was fun. It was great. No real weight of the world yet is on your shoulders. But then as you get older, you know, you have to start asking yourself those questions. And I think a lot of relationships that do break down, people haven't really asked themselves those questions. Is where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you want kids? Where do you want to live? What do you want to do? How do you spend your time? And, you know, a lot of people are just kind of going into it because it's just like the next logical step after university. And I think now maybe hopefully the younger generation spends a little bit more time asking those questions of themselves and their partners.
Yeah, I think it's why too many people were playing Pokemon Go. You know, I think you got to pump the brakes a bit if you're going out for your son to catch some Pokemon in the middle of London. I think what's going on.
Well, my brother was a big Pokemon Go. My dad was so funny. I'd be like, "Hey, Dad, like is David home?" He's like, "No, he's gone in the." He's gone into the car to go catch some Pokemon.
It was out of control. Now, fair enough. If you love Pokemon and you're into that, cool. But getting your dad to go get you Pokemon, that's cheating.
That is true. Because the problem with the Pokemon Go for a lot of people was that there'd be like Pokemon specific to certain areas.
Yeah.
So when I was in Australia, people were like, "Oh my God, you're in Australia, you'll be able to catch, you know, Digizor," which is obviously not a Pokemon.
Bless you.
But you know, and I do have lots of friends that play it. So, and to be honest, like if anyone was playing Pokemon Go when they walked past me when I was handing out flyers, I worked hard to try to get them to come to my shows because I'm a bit of a nerd and I knew that they would like my show the most. So the Pokemon Go people were actually really great audience members for me. So like no shade, but I think the one thing that I saw was a YouTube video of like there was like a lure or something in Central Park, and there, I think there was like a rare Pokemon there, and someone tweeted it, and there was just a mass amount of people that ran into like Central Park. It was pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah. All right. Well, fair enough. What about the people who are Black Friday veterans? You know these people?
Yeah, that they.
I really need a telly. I really need a telly.
Yeah.
I need this telly more than you. Yeah. You know, and there's fights and they're grabbing the tellies. And they were like, "How much is this? I don't even know." I don't even know.
Well, I used to work at Future Shop, which was a electronics store, and I did maybe just one Boxing Day, which is like our Black Friday in Canada, right? So it's the day after Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, that's like people are lining up 4 a.m. and you just basically park yourself on a computer and you're just like ringing in stuff like the entire day. And like your sales numbers are amazing because you're just selling like thousands and thousands of dollars worth of goods in like an hour. So, I mean, that was a good, I mean, for retail, they're loving it. But I mean, it did suck having to get up right like the day after Christmas at like 4 a.m. and then you go by, it's freezing. It's freezing in Canada usually, right? So you go by, these people have been lining up. Like, did you even enjoy dinner with your family last night? Like, how long have you been here for? And it's like, it's maybe $50 off. Like, there's probably going to be a sale in 2 weeks that's just as good. These are like, we're getting rid of our merch from Christmas. Like, we're going to fire sale that shit again. Like, it just, but yeah.
Again, perspective. In the UK, we do a Black Friday out of respect to you guys in America. And they showed a clip of the queue and the doors opening. And literally, they were like, 8 a.m., the doors have opened for Black Friday. Bing! There's this one guy standing there. Hi. I made it.
That's great. That's so funny.
But yeah, it's a different perspective, isn't it?
Well, I think it's the perspective that's created by the like media and by it's just kind
of. That's why the media is so powerful.
Yeah, like scarcity. Oh my God, scarcity. It's one day. Like you got to buy it now, 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 now. ABC, always be closing. Like, you know, it's just like, wow. And so it's kind of gotten a bit of like a. I don't know if cult following is the right term, but like some people are just mad for it, just mad, like the whole spectacle of it. And it's really just to sell a bunch of shit to you. And media does a great job at kind of convincing people that they need stuff, you know? Like when I went to Cuba, so my dad likes to go there because he dates Cuban women, but yes, he does.
Does he speak Spanish?
He does.
Hola.
Yeah. hablo poquito español. But so my dad goes there.
What was that?
That just means I speak a little Spanish.
Well, let them know.
Yeah, that means I speak a little bit of Spanish. Un poquito. But anyway, poquito means a little.
Oh, no, very nice.
Yeah, yeah. And I can say, tres cerveza, por favor, which just means three beers, please, you know, as you need to know.
Well, we don't have any alcohol in.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's why I can also say, te con leche, por favor, which means tea with milk. Por favor, means please. Okay, anyways, that's another
story. Has to go on the language podcast.
Yeah, so my dad loves to go to Cuba, and I went there, and he took me to like the village or whatever of the woman he was dating at the time.
Oh.
Yes, who he did eventually marry and divorce, but again, that's another story. So I go to her village, and there's like pigs that are kind of wandering around. There's like chickens everywhere. Like the guys go out on the boats and grab fish and stuff like that. And I had this like dinner, and the dinner was like 10 times as good as the dinner I was having on the resort, because we stayed like at the resort and just wandered into this village. Well, not wandered, walked with a strategy to go to the village anyway. And it was just like fresh fish. And then there was like kids running around, and like the aunts and uncles were taking care of the kids because like the parents were at work and the kids kind of were raised a bit by the village. And I don't know. Like, I kind of was like, oh, like, people were like, oh, Cuba, you know, America doesn't trade with them. They're so poor and they're so this and they're so that. But, like, I don't know. My dad's friend once broke his arm in Cuba and went to a hospital and it got fixed and it was totally taken care of and well done. And they have a lower, like, infant mortality rate at birth. And, like, even the States does. Like, they actually have a very good healthcare system. And I'm pretty sure that's true, but don't quote me on it. And, yeah, and they're just a community, like, it. I don't know. I think we're tricked a lot into thinking we need all this stuff. And to be honest, fulfillment, I think, comes from being with good people and doing things that you enjoy, not like getting up at 3 a.m. to get a TV for like $50 less than it was today. And it's going to be on sale in literally 2 weeks.
So are they going to roll out Trump Care then? No? Oh.
Not in Cuba, that's for sure.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, I think you can have a different perspective on things just from the people you're with. So if, like, Christmas is usually not great for me because my mum, she suffers from anxiety. Otherwise, you know, it would be a lovely thing. But one thing happens, like whenever I have a girlfriend at the Christmas time, then it's slightly easier because there's someone else she can talk to and, you know, do those things. She doesn't really ask for much help from the men. It's a weird thing of like she just has this perception of how it's meant to be, of the women running around doing all the things in the kitchen and the guys waiting, I guess, but obviously with a beer or in front of the TV, or, you know. And I look forward to Christmas when I have someone in my life more, just for that simple thing. Because everyone's perspective is kind of a little bit changed. It's amazing how something special like that can change things.
Yeah, no, it's true. Because if you, like, there's a lot of holidays out there that are much, much nicer to spend if you have a partner. Not to say that if you don't have a partner, it's a bad thing in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, like things like Valentine's Day or like, yeah, the holidays, I think in general, like New Year's Eve, because then you can kiss when it gets down to midnight, which is kind of fun. Hogmanay!
Hogmanay. Free the Hogmanay!
Yeah. So I do think it's, yeah, it's much better when you can share your life with somebody. I think that's why human beings tend to be drawn to other human beings, is like we do have an intense desire to connect and love and to be loved and to, yeah, just open up to someone. So I think that yeah, my perspective definitely changes quite a bit from when I've been, oh, shoot, I didn't mean to attack the phone.
Sorry, I was using it to record this podcast on, but that's a different perspective,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, no, it's different. And so, yeah, I'm going through a lot of changes right now in my life for sure, but I think that what makes me happy and optimistic is that I'm doing things that I feel like are right for my life, and that I'm living, like, yeah, just through my gut. And I think that when you are in the wrong, like when you're not in the right place, I think that it dampens you. Like your perspective on life is like clouded. It's like there's clouds over top of you. And that's, yeah, if you ever find yourself for a prolonged period of time, you're not finding as much joy in your activities as you used to, or yeah, you're just not excited about the future. Like you really got to take stock and sit down and be honest with yourself and say, like, why is it that like these clouds are here, and what can I change in my life to make the clouds go away? And like Josh was saying, like, be really, really honest with yourself, because we can be really good at lying to ourselves, but our body suffers and our mind and our soul suffers. And I've convinced myself I've been in the right situation before when it hasn't been, and I suffer. Like, I'm not as energetic, I'm not as happy, I'm not as optimistic. Because when the dust all settles, you can't lie to yourself. Like, your body knows deep, deep down the truth. You just can't, you're not confident or whatever enough to just admit it, you know, but deep down, you know.
Oh, lovely. I think you're very right. I agree with that. And listening to your body is your body's got its perspective, and your unconscious and your neural net from your body is always taking on information. Sometimes people don't listen to their bodies. The bodies are telling them all the time. It's processing information all the time. So, you know, test and measure is a very good technique to see if you're on the right path and how much further you have to go. And, you know, you can keep asking yourself whether you still want to go up that mountain, because it's always easier to get off the mountain you're on if you know the mountain you want to be climbing. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, I don't really want this job, da 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 da. It's like, fine. Like, in your downtime, you've got to be exploring other potential mountains. Don't just quit your mountain. But once you know your other mountain that you want to be exploring, then you've got to delve deep and you've got to go for it.
I agree with that too. Yeah, and it's not easy. I know that a lot of people will say, oh, you know, I'm at my job and I'm really, really tired, and when I get home, I just want to like escape. But if you're always trying to escape the life that you're living, I don't think that's like a very good sign. Like, the life that you're living should be exciting, and you very rarely want downtime from that life because it's your preferred life. So, and when I've had those jobs where I cannot wait for the day to end or the weekend, that's when I started thinking, like, is this what I want? Like, and that's something as you get older, is this something that I want for the next 40 years of my life? Like, to dread every single day I wake up except for Saturday. Because really, when you wake up on Sunday, you're like, no, tomorrow's Monday. Like, you don't even really get Sunday. You're already like kind of irritated, right? So it's like Saturday morning is like the best morning.
That's why they have the song Saturday, Saturday, Saturday.
And Saturday night's all right. Is that an Elton John song?
Yeah, it's a great song. So.
Saturday, Saturday. Anyways, so I had one job when I was in university, my first co-op job. It was at the Ontario Science Center. And so it was like a big kind of like, yeah, science center. I don't need to explain it. And that was the one job that I couldn't wait for the weekend to be over, because it was like, in Toronto. It was when I wasn't at home with my parents, because I was like, I'd gone away to university and then I like moved back home to go, because Toronto was so close to Ajax where I grew up. So I stayed at home in Ajax for those 4 months and then just commuted into Toronto. And my mom and I carpooled, actually, which was quite nice. It was a nice bonding time for my mom and I. Anyway, and yeah, like I just loved my social circle at the Science Center. So for me, like, I love my job. I got to talk to people all day. I got to wear a little lab coat. I did like little kind of presentations, like scientific presentations to like classrooms and adults, and told people about the exhibits. And I just like wandered around and helped people all day and had amazing coworkers. And I was like, oh my God, like looking forward to the weekend being over is an incredible feeling, because I have 5 days I'm about to really enjoy. So, and that kind of like woke me up a little bit. And then right after, I had this horrible office job, like no offense to where I worked, but it was just the complete opposite of sitting at a desk, answering phones, you know, writing reports, and it was just Dullsville. And I was like, oh my God, I don't even want the job of my boss. I don't even job the, like, I don't want the job of my boss's boss. So when you're looking at a forward trajectory and you're at a job and you don't even want any job you could get promoted into, I think you got to start looking for a job. I don't care how tired you are when you get home.
No, I got to agree. It's not easy living a life that isn't the one that you really want to live. And a lot of people accommodate for that. But like when you're younger, you have more freedom. You have less responsibility. You should test a lot of things and taste a lot of things. You know, if you've got family and or a partner or whatever financial situation later on, it's much harder to do those things. But when you're younger, take every opportunity. Be broke. You know, go travel the world. Go taste and find out. Go find yourself, you know. That's a wonderful story. I've forgotten the name of it, but like this is a wonderful story by Paulo Coelho called, it's called The Alchemist. And this boy has to go on this journey. And basically by coming to the journey, he comes back to home and he realized that all he wanted to be was at home, but he needed to find out who he was to be at home and be the happiest he could be. And he could only find out who he was by going on the journey. And that's true in all of life. You have to explore, and then you end up finding yourself and the things that you really like. And so don't waste that early time. Like don't see it as a weakness or a disadvantage that, you know, as a youngster coming out of uni, that you have debt and people think you're poor or whatever their perception is, because now you can get away with more things because you are poor. So you can go, I don't know, ask for a discount on the Airbnb, or ask to stay at other people's houses, or, you know, stay on the couch. Just hustle around. And if something's not working, I think the key thing is just move something else, next. Keep tasting. And eventually you'll find it. And when you find it, it's so much better. It's so worth it. However much exploration it takes, it's worth it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with that completely. And like when I was starting out my Fringe Festival life, I mean, I was doing free shows, and because like, you know, like if I was selling tickets for £50 and 1,000 people were coming, I mean, yes, I could, that would be amazing. But then I could like, you know, stay in hotels and like be a bit of a baller. But no, I like, it was very easy to get couches, and people would help with meals, and people would bring me teas if I was handing out flyers because it was so cold. And like, yeah, it was a good time, because people will help you. They will help you. But yeah, like when you're young, and like you said, when you're broke, and that's your exploration time where you can kind of go out and rely a bit on the kindness of strangers. Because, you know, when you're 50 years old and you got a house and a couple cars and a mortgage and maybe some kids, like you're not going to have that freedom and mobility to kind of figure out who you are or take some risks. So yeah, do it as much as you can when you're young. Like I think I traveled a fair amount so far in my life, so I'm quite pleased with that. But I've met some people, and they don't even have a passport. And you're like, no, like you've never left your country. Like you've never left your province or your state or your continent or whatever. Like, oh God, there's a big, great world out there.
I know, it's quite nice in some states. So I can understand it completely. But yeah, again, like if it's working for you, triple down on it.
That's true.
If something that's great for you, you love it where you are, cool. Like, but you're probably not searching for episodes like this, you know. But for the other side, just know that you, if it's not working, it's not you, you know. It's something, it's a signal within you that you've got to go find it. No one else is going to give it to you, unfortunately.
Mm.
I wish that could be the case. If we could do that, that would that'd be very profitable. So if we could sell that to someone, and give them an injection, and they'd have self-awareness, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
It would be. And I think something, too, is it's very hard to see from the outside looking in. So a lot of times, too, is say something's happening in your life. Feel free to share it with some people that are close to you that you trust. And a lot of times it will illuminate some of those things within you that you might not see as clearly, right? Like sometimes I would talk to my sister about certain things that were going on in my life. And she was great because she knows me very, very well. She knows how I was raised. She knows where I've lived. We obviously spent a lot of time with each other. And my sister would be like, you know, you are this type of person, so this makes sense. Or, you know, I've noticed this in you, so I can understand why you're feeling tense about that. And she just knows me so well that, you know, talking to her and getting her advice and feedback on some of the decisions that I want to make has been very valuable, because she just knows me really, really well. And she can see through any, like, you know, a lot of times maybe we're not articulating exactly what we say, but she can pick up on the clues or whatever. And yeah, so if you have people that really know you and you really trust, like, feel free to ask them, hey, you know, I don't think that this job is for me given my personality, but it makes decent money, but I'm thinking about maybe trying this out. A lot of times they'll be very honest with you and say, oh, you know what, you're a vivacious person that's outgoing. I could see why a desk job isn't good for you. I could see why maybe taking a pay hit to work at the Ontario Science Centre wouldn't be a bad decision. Like, you know, so if they love you and care about you, want you to be happy and want the best for you, maybe not ask your mom because she'll want you to just have money. So maybe your moms aren't the ideal candidate sometimes, but, you know, someone who's like your age, I think that they can be a very valuable resource.
I think something that you reiterated with me was you can't go for the money. And, Spielberg and, what's the guy? Lucas.
Yeah, there's George Lucas.
George Lucas. When they were doing film, it was the worst time ever.
Yeah, and James Cameron.
James Cameron to be a director, you know, or producer. It was the worst time ever for that, to be in the profession. But they loved it so much. And they were like, well, you know, Spielberg loves making his sisters scared and sharing things that would scare them. You know, E.T. is a bit scary. No, it's not. Stranger
Things. I can see where E.T. is kind of freaky. I was always afraid of Alf. Do you know Alf? That, like, crazy, he's like a stuffed animal that could talk. I don't know if you've ever
that
saw
is
that
weird,
show.
Yeah. Alf
he scared
is
the
weird.
Shit out of me. We had a little Alf toy in our
something life form.
In our basement.
Alternative
yeah.
life.
Yeah,
form?
I think he was an alien or something, maybe. But anyways, yeah, so we had a little.
That was a really popular toy back in the day, wasn't
it? It was. And so we had one in the basement, but it freaked me out. And then so as torture, my siblings would turn off the lights for the basement, because you could turn them off from the main floor, and close the door and put all their weight on it so I couldn't escape. And I would just scream and yell and try to push with all my might, but my weak arms. Yeah, he always makes fun of you for my weak arms. So I do have weak arms. What are you going to do? And so, yeah, I could never open the door. My sister or brother were... Then that was my form of torture and punishment from them if, you know, they wanted to get under my skin.
Jeez. Yeah, better not displease them.
Yeah, please don't lock me in the basement anymore. There's no basement here. Woohoo.
Yeah, we don't have them over here. Yeah, I just don't. Unlucky. Some places do, but it's less common.
Well, in London, they were getting, like, the big mega kind of townhouse, rich areas. We're digging, like, first basements and then sometimes second basements where they'd have, like, gyms and pools. And it was getting so bad because it was so noisy to, like, excavate. So these really, like, $30 million, like, townhomes in London. And then you have this neighbor that's been, like, digging, like, you know, two basement floors for, like, a year or more. And it got so bad that they actually had banned the two-floor basements. And now you can only build, like, a one-floor basement. So I watched an interesting documentary on that. But, like, all the rich people, it was, like, all the rage. So, like, there'd be these streets and there'd be, like, five or six homes that were just constantly digging in the ground all day. And, yeah, it just sounded like a nightmare. But keeping up with the Jones is, that's another perspective, is a lot of people think they have to keep up with those around them as like some sort of like optics thing. And it's like, it doesn't matter what the Joneses are doing. Who cares? Like, but a lot of people do care what their neighbors think and their friends think of them.
If you can be happy, then in a job where you're taking less, but you feel more fulfilled, ultimately, you're gonna win in the long run, you know. And most people don't necessarily believe that or think that can be the case. But really, that's the game. Because the happier you are spending time in the game, the longer you're gonna be in and around the game, and then more stuff's gonna come to you. So that really is the game. If you're getting a better pay packet now, but you don't like being in the game, how good are you going to be in that industry? How good are you going to be perceived in that industry? It's the people who are like there earlier than anyone else, and then later than anyone else. Everyone's going to know, everyone's going to see, everyone's going to be around, everyone's going to be like, well, that guy obviously knows everyone and knows everything. It's going to happen over time. So, you know, it just makes sense to do that in the thing that you're equipped for, or your talent, your gift, your ability, and the thing that you're turned on by. But, you know, I understand. It's you have to be brave if you want to jump in the pool with those things. And if it's a new thing, you're going to suck as well.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, you know, when you're a kid, people allow you to suck. But are they going to do it when you're an adult? You have to have the fortitude to say, I don't even care if you think I suck. Obviously, I'm going to suck. It's brand new. So having patience with yourself. Sometimes we can be our own harshest critics.
Yeah.
Do you find that?
I always find that. I'm very, very hard on myself. And it sucks because, like, I know you have to shake it off, like we talked about T-Swift the other day, but...
Shake it off.
Yeah.
Shake it off.
I always want to be really good at everything that I do that I'm passionate about. And, it like, starting from scratch and then sucking at it, it is painful. And the one thing that... I'm glad, like, being hard on myself, sure. But what it does do is it does light a fire in me to get through being crappy as quickly as possible. So most of the things that I fall in love with, I kind of, like, binge a bit on. Like, I'm just like, oh, my God, I love comedy. I'm going to do comedy, like, every single night, and I'm going to get through being shit at comedy as quickly as possible. And that's exactly what I did. Like, I just got through that phase of just sucking because I hated when I got off stage and I'd bombed or I'd, you know, not done well or I'd forgot something or whatever. And so, you know, sometimes being hard on yourself does lead to breakthroughs, but sometimes it also just leads to you, like, being sad and unproductive because you've kept yourself up all night thinking about mistakes that you've made. So you really do have to try to find that balance of allowing it to work in your favor, but also being able to, like, let go and realize, okay, like, stop thinking about this. You can't change the past. Get some sleep. That's the thing you need the most right now. And if you can try to, because you said you're kind of better doing that, which is kind of cool. I wish I had that ability. It's something I'm going to work on.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you got work in the training room, which has to be actually more than the work that you deliver on in your game or in your field, in your expertise, whatever that is. And then you got to have that switch off point, you know? If you left it all out there, in both, then it's going to be all good.
That's true. Yeah, but I'm glad. That's what I'm going to be working on. I think that's my new perspective, is that, like, yeah, you are not going to be good at everything, especially when you try new things, but, like, don't be too hard on yourself. And, like, when I first started learning how to ride a motorcycle, I was also, like, really hard on myself for sucking. And then I just, like, again, just binge. And now, like, I ride around and I write about it in, like, websites and stuff. So, yeah, I mean... Use it as fuel. Don't use it to keep you up at night.
Yeah, and I think patience is key. If you're really feeling it could be the thing, you know that you're going to suck at it, and then being patient with yourself, that's a key thing. My secret to being able to sleep at night is having patience as well. You know, I don't expect to have it straight away.
Yeah. And practice makes perfect. You will get better at something if you're passionate about it and you give it a lot of your time. It's inevitable.
Okay, so until next time.
Yay! So we'll do our little jingle.
I think that was pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed. Surely not to be disbanded. We are the Mighty Mounties. Until next time.
Stay awesome.